goes to Skytook or anywhere around here, we're doing Fields of Faith on Wednesday night out at the football field. So it starts at 5:30. The doors open at 5:30. There'll be pizza there. The service starts at 6:30. It's just an opportunity for all the youth and the youth ministries and the churches in our community to come worship together, pray over the school. The gospel will be presented very clearly, so it's going to be an opportunity for students to invite their friends to come and hear. So,
let's pray. Our Father, as we come before you, Lord, we are a stubborn and wicked people. Yeah. Father, who are we that you are mindful of us? But for the grace of Christ, for the blood of the cross, for the sacrifice that you provided to give us a righteousness we could never obtain. Fathers, we come before you today. Father, we need your presence. Right. Father, may your Holy Spirit move among us. Father, may Chad be empowered with your word. Amen. Father, we know that with your word you spoke everything into creation. Father, your word says that it will not go out void. So, Father, we pray that as it goes out today, that you give us open hearts. Father, that we walk away changed. Yeah. Father, we pray for your empowering. We pray for your presence. Father, we know that where two or more are gathered together, there you will be also. Father, we thank you for your presence today. We love you and praise you for all things. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Good morning, church. If you have your Bibles, open them with me to Hebrews chapter 13. As you're turning there, I want to let you know of just something that is going on. It's been happening now for several years. There's a group here in our church who is putting together Thanksgiving, and then we'll also do Christmas baskets for some in our community. And if you would like to be a part of that and give towards that, they have a table out in the foyer that you can give and be a part of that ministry. Like I said, Thanksgiving baskets to families, and then also as Christmas comes, they'll be reaching out to them as well. Today, we will continue our study in the book of Hebrews, and over the last couple of weeks, we have seen the writer of Hebrews give us instructions about running this race, and even gave us examples of people who ran the race well, and then even instructed us to look at our own life and to be willing to throw off anything that hinders us in running this race, to acknowledge the sin that is there that trips us up and be willing to lay those aside and run with perseverance. And so today we'll be continuing as he has instructed us and has been instructing us about some specific things. Last week we looked at some things in our life that as those who have surrendered our lives to Jesus, there should be some things that are clear. He talked to us about making sure that brotherly love continued in the way that we love one another, but also instructed us and encouraging us to love and care for strangers as they come and show hospitality to them. He told us to remember those in prison, probably those who are imprisoned because of their faith, and to do so as though we were there with them. We looked at also what it means to honor marriage and that it be honored by all. And so with that, anything then that would come up against marriage, we would stand up against. And so today, we are going to continue along in this study as he gives us. And today we're going to tackle something that will affect every one of us. And as we look at it, it will be something that, just to be honest, may be uncomfortable for some. It's very intimate things in our lives. And so I just want to tell you, even before we dive in, that this is written to those who have surrendered their life to Jesus. Meaning that just as we have sang here this morning, that we are asking and seeking to abide in Jesus, meaning that we depend on him for everything, that's what we sang, that we would understand that he is good and that he is never going to let us down. Amen? And even as you sang, that he is worthy of it all. And so all hail King Jesus. This is what we sang here this morning. And so today, as we dive in and we talk about intimate things in our lives, I just want to remind you, we have died to ourselves, and we are called to allow Christ to live through us, which means that every aspect of our life is upon the table to say, here, Jesus, you take it, it's all yours. And with that even in mind, that we then are kids, our grandkids, our whole lives then are all upon the table. He has just given them to us to manage, and we have a responsibility to manage them well. And so, if we're not going to take care of what he has called us and led us to manage, why then would he give us more? So something to think about. So that will kind of lead us into as we jump in. If you don't mind, stand with me if you are able, and we will read the passage. We're going to start in verse 1 of chapter 13, and we'll read through verse 6. Let brotherly love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember those who are in prison as though in prison with them, and those who are mistreated, since you also are in the body. Let marriage be held in honor among all, and let the marriage bed be undefiled. For God will judge the sexually immoral and adulterous. Keep your life free from love of money, and be content with what you have, for he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me? Father, we are so thankful for your word, and Lord, we ask that you would speak to our hearts today. And even as we talk about some things in our life that we don't talk about a whole lot, I pray that you would forgive us for that. Because, Lord, as I've been reminded so much, these are ways that we can honor and glorify you, and so there should not be anything that we're unwilling to talk about. And so, God, I pray that today you would give us eyes to see maybe differently, or ways to see perspective-wise that would bring you honor and glory. And so lead us, change us, help us to become more like you. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. Thank you so much. You can be seated. We live in a culture that highly lifts up, just to be honest, covetousness. It lifts up and really speaks to and desires that you go after anything that you want. And really speaks to us in ways through social media, through even commercials and things like that, is that whatever you don't have, you need. And so it is all the time trying to push us into this mindset of, I need more. Everything that I have is good, but there's more that I need. I need nicer, I need newer, I need bigger. And so because of that, we see in our culture so much indebtedness, so much even a lack of joy or unhappiness, and a lack of contentment. And so in today's passage, he says, keep your life free from the love of money. And be content in what you have. And so today, that's going to be the goal, is that we can identify some things in our lives, or at least maybe perspective-wise of how we look at things, and that we would learn, each one of us, to be content in the situation that I am in, and then seek to be obedient to the Lord with what he has and what he has given us and entrusted us with. And so, we have much to do, so let's dive in. Here we see in verse 6, a quotation of Psalm 118, 6 through 9. And it says, the Lord is on my side, I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is on my side as my helper. I shall look in triumph to those who hate me. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. And so here, just so happens to be this week, actually on Wednesday, when early voting starts. And just in case you live in Osage County, you can vote early this Wednesday right here or even in Pawhuska. But with that in mind, according to this verse, it is better that you and I even go into election times such as this. And I would say even as volatile as all of this has been, you and I can go with great confidence that our hope is not in man, and it's not in princes or those in power, but it's in the Lord. Amen? Amen? But I will tell you, you have a responsibility to vote. And I just want to challenge you. Get out, vote. You can start Wednesday or you can wait till next Tuesday, whenever you do. But I just believe that you and I, we have the Holy Spirit, and we need to get before the Lord and we need to call to him. But we also need to understand that he is God and is upon the throne. And so whoever is in office, we are to pray for, and we are to continue to have our hope in our God, not in man. And so I thought it would be good. Let's take a couple minutes just to pray for the election this next week, and also all of the turmoil that is happening even along the way. All right? Let's bow before the Lord. Father, we bow before you, and even as we have already sang, we just want to acknowledge that you are God and you are on the throne. And Lord, we find our hope and get our hope in you. It is not in man. It is not in princes or those who are in power. And so, Lord, I just pray that each one of us will go into this time with great confidence, knowing that, Lord, nothing is a shock to you and that we can trust you. And so, Lord, I pray that as we get ready to cast our votes this next week, Lord, that you would lead us, guide us, help us to trust you, and then to be obedient. God, we love you so much. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. Here is a quotation, and the call is not to trust in man. I would even go so far, as we'll see, we're not to trust in our finances, but instead we're to trust in the Lord. And so today, as we try to unpack this, a couple of things I want to see. There was a woman who had come up to D.L. Moody, and she had said, "Hey, I have found a great promise that helps me." And she quoted from Psalm 56:3 when it says, "When I am afraid, I put my trust in you." And D.L. Moody responded to her, and he's like, "You know, that's a really good promise, but I have one that I want to challenge you with, and that's in Isaiah 12:2, and it says, 'Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust, and I will not be afraid.'" One comes that when I'm afraid, I'm going to trust in the Lord, and yet D.L. Moody tries to challenge her with this: when we trust in the Lord, it will cast away all fear. Why? Because he is upon the throne, and he takes care of us. And I love Psalm 23. It's this picture of God being our shepherd, and he's going to lead us. He's going to lead us beside still waters. He's going to take us to green pastures. He's going to make sure that we're taken care of. And he ultimately says, for his name's sake. Like, his name is on the line. And so as a child of God, you have a father who will take care of you. And so you don't have to trust in man. You don't have to trust in your finances. You have a God who will take care of you. And now with that, there are some principles that we are to apply to our life, and it is my hope that we'll see some of those here today. Jesus was preaching. This is found in Luke chapter 12 one time, and he's actually talking about not being ashamed of him, and that if we're ashamed of him before men, he'll be ashamed of us before our Father in heaven. And in the middle of him preaching, it says, "Someone in the crowd said to him, 'Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me.' But Jesus said, he said to him, 'Man, who made me a judge or arbiter over you?' And he said to them, 'Take care and be on your guard against all covetousness. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions.'" Jesus, here in the middle, has this bold and powerful message. And someone says, hey, tell my brother to make sure that he divides the inheritance. And he could even be asking Jesus to do something or to uphold the law, because we know in Deuteronomy chapter 21 that the older brother would get 2/3 of the inheritance and the younger would get 1/3. And he may even just be telling Jesus, listen, help him to obey the law. And Jesus saying, man, why are you so worried about finances? Like, why are you worried in this moment of wanting what you don't have? Like, your life is not determined by that. You see, he's trying to help this man and even the crowd to understand that our hope is not in finances, but we have a God who is right there with us. And so we are to watch out. He says, guard against, or watch out against, covetousness. Now, the word covetous or covet is a word that literally means desiring more. And you can ask anyone in culture, for the most part, and regardless of where they find themselves, whether impoverished or probably middle class or even rich, and you ask them, okay, how much more would you need to be happy? It's always more, right? Well, if I just had about 10 or 20,000 more a year, then I would be happy. But the thing is we just live in this culture, and it's all about, well, you know, if I could just have a little bit more, then, you know, then I think I would be happy. And the point of the passage today is that no, man, find contentment in where you're at. Trust the Lord that he's going to lead you. Be obedient to the situation that he has you in now. And then if and when he finds you faithful, if and when, dependent upon what his design and plan is, then you can trust him in whatever situation that is. If it's more or even if it's less, the point is, and we even see the example of like Paul, who was a great man of God, follow the Lord, greatest missionary, and he found himself at times hungry or at times where he said he had plenty. But the point that Paul even told us was is that he had found himself to be content in any situation that he is in. Man, you see, what great joy do you find in life when with whatever you have in that moment, you can worship and obey the Lord. 1 Timothy, Paul's letter to 1 Timothy, or to Timothy, says this, "But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world and cannot take anything out of the world. But if we have food and clothing, with these we will be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money," not having money, "but the love of money is the root of all kinds of evils. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs. But as for you, O man of God, flee these things." This love of money, this pursuit after the things of money, has caused so many problems. People have even given up following Christ because they would rather have the things of the world. But he says, flee from these. Instead, pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Man, I love that. Here he's saying, fight the good fight of the faith. And we'll quote that often as like, okay, hang on, trust in the Lord. But here, the context of it is in the way of being content with who you are. In other words, it will require faith in a God who is bigger than you and is upon the throne to be able to be content in whatever situation you find in your life. I can be content with what I'm in right now, and I can honor him with that. It's kind of like the ruler who went on a journey and left his money to certain men. You know, some he left this much, others that depend on. And those whom he found faithful, what did he do? He gave more responsibility. And it'll be the same with us. So we're to be wise. We're to make sure that we understand what he has. You know, I, as a youth pastor, I would have students who would graduate and then they would become young adults and out on their own. And many times I would see them get into so much trouble because so many times they wanted the same lifestyle as their parents. And their parents had worked 30 years to be able to have that lifestyle. And they just thought they could have it immediately. And they'd go out and get indebted to get a nice car and even sometimes a nice house. And they would find themselves in this position of not being able to make the payments. And I just want to say we're called to work hard and to be wise. And it doesn't mean that we jump out and make unwise decisions. Jesus would say it this way in Matthew 6, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. So the faith that you and I are to implement in the way of our finances, in the way of money, is a faith in God's promises. He has some great promises that we can trust and call to. Ecclesiastes 5:10 says, "He who loves money will not be satisfied with money." Isn't that such a lie that our world wants to tell us? Like, if you'll just have more, then you'll be satisfied. But you'll never be satisfied. I read one quote where a lady asked a millionaire one time, "Well, how much more does it take for a rich man to be satisfied?" And he just said, "Just a million more than what he has." You know, I mean, but that's, isn't that true? I mean, no matter where we're at, it's like always wanting more. Proverbs 22:7 says, "The borrower is the slave of the lender." Man, how true is this? And if we're not careful, we'll get upside down in situations and we'll become a slave. I want to give you just one example. We don't have a whole lot of time to dive off into a lot of these, but the average house here in Skytook is $252,000. I was kind of shocked by that, but that's the average. And so let's just say you had to go get a loan for $200,000 to buy a house. And today, or at least yesterday when I looked this up, the interest rates were actually 7.3%, but I went ahead and did 7 just to make it a little bit easier. So for 30 years, your payment would be $1,331 a month, okay? That, just so you know, that doesn't include taxes and insurance. That's just loan payment. So the interest paid after 30 years, you would just pay an interest, $280,000 just in interest. So total, for a $200,000 loan, you would pay $280,000. Like, no one set me down and told me this when I went to buy my first house. I just didn't realize it. Like, they give you that amortization, I think I said that right, chart, and I looked at it, and I'm like, whoa, we're going to pay double, you know, of what? Anyway, I didn't know that. So let me give you another scenario. I wish someone would have told me. It took a little while to get it there, but we ended up doing this. If I got the $200,000 loan, and it's actually a percentage lower because you're going to 15-year note, your payment would be about $350 more per month, but look how much interest you'd pay compared. Now, look at the two together. 30-year, you're going to pay $480,000. A 15-year, you're only going to pay $303,000. Just curious, I went ahead and typed in the information. What if I have a 30-year, but I paid this much a month, I just upped that payment? It's only about $1,000. Like, you can still do that even if you have a 30-year. I'm just saying it requires us to be wise, right? This is with everything. Cars, a lot of times we'll buy a car, and we're so focused on, no, what's the monthly payment? We don't even look at what we overall pay for that car. And they'll move numbers around and get you that payment where you want, but ultimately you end up paying so much for it. So just things to think about. We are to be wise. When we talk about these things in our lives, the thing that we, I think, puts everything in perspective is when you and I learn to treasure Jesus above everything else. Like, if I have Jesus, I have all that I need. Like, I don't need that nice car. I just need something that's functional and practical. I don't need fill in the blank. I don't need that bigger or that acre. I mean, I don't need that. Now, if I'm at a place where I can do that, that's up to you. That's your decision. But sometimes we can get in these situations where we put these needs on our lives and we'll get ourselves in hard situations. So if we treasure Jesus, here's some just things I want to challenge you with. First one is work hard. I have just found, and I've not lived a whole long life, but I just found, if a person is faithful, shows up on time, and is a hard worker, they will always have a job. I've just found that. Not only will you always have a job, you will progress. I've just seen that. It's been a factor. If you are a person of integrity, show up on time for me is 10 minutes early, I'm just saying, and do your job, work hard. Just telling you, like, there, people are dying for people like you if that's you. If that's not you, make some changes in your life where that's you, because God will use it. So work hard. 2 Thessalonians 3:10 says, if anyone is not willing to work, let him not eat. Sounds harsh, doesn't it? 1 Timothy 5:8 says, but if anyone does not provide for his relatives and especially for the members of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Now, listen, there are disabilities or things that keep people from work, those are real. But what I'm saying is, if you are able and you just are choosing not, we live in a culture who gives handouts. I just want to say, work hard. This is a principle throughout Scripture that we see. Work hard. Second thing, trust God's plan. Trust. He is upon the throne. He has all power, all authority. I have surrendered my life to Him, which means I surrender my desires, my wants, my plan, and then I trust His. And so in trusting His plan, He even tells us to put Him to the test. Look with me at Malachi 3. Will man rob God? Yet you are robbing me, but you say, how have we robbed you? God responds, in your tithes and contributions. You are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. Bring the full tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open the windows of heaven for you, pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need. I like that word, there is no more need, not This is not always in excess. This is not always in extravagance, okay? I think that this is, we live in a culture who wants to tell you, hey, if you're a true believer, you're going to be healthy and wealthy, right? And that is a lie, because we see so many examples of New Testament followers of Christ who were not, and who had sickness, or who just were impoverished. And what I'm saying is that these examples were content because they trusted God, not finances. He says, put them to the test. I will rebuke the devourer for you so that it will not destroy the fruits of your soil, and your vine in the field shall not fail to bear, says the Lord of hosts, and all the nations will call you blessed, for you will be a land of delight, says the Lord of hosts. Here the promise is that God would do supernatural things to make sure you are taken care of. Remember, he is a good father, and therefore he takes care of us. He will make sure that we have what we need, not always what we want. And so he mentioned here robbing from God, and he mentions the tithe. This isn't something I have not and do not talk about finances very much, and this is shame on me, because I've been here 3 years. I think this might be the first time I've mentioned it along the way, but as far as a message upon finances. And I just want to say, Jesus, like some 18% of his messages were on finances, and or at least what we have written down. And I think it's good because it involves all of us, and I think that it is a heart check, because our finances are all about our heart, not necessarily about if we're good or bad with our money. It really is all about how we approach the Lord and look to him, and so it is about our heart. And so the word tithe literally means a tenth. So sometimes if you just give something, the tithe itself means a tenth, so it's 10%. And it is a biblical principle that we see all throughout, and it's the first fruits. So in other words, as agriculture and things, when there would be harvest, it would be the first and the best that people would bring to the Lord. The first fruits, or the first 10% of that, that would be the Lord's. And then he would bless the rest, the 90%. And this is the principle that we see in our lives. And so, if I'm to trust God's plan, then it starts there. And for me, just New Testament-wise, I want to remind you that I believe that the New Testament is actually a give all of self. And so, for our family, we start with the tithe, but man, there's always opportunities or always things that the Lord leads us to give to on top of that. And that is how my family works. This is not something I'm pushing on anyone else. I'm just saying that's how it works in mine. In Matthew 23:23, Jesus said this: woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites, for you tithe mint and dill and cumin and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faithfulness. These you ought to have done without neglecting the others. In other words, tithe is just one part of what we do for the Lord. But the whole heart is that I surrender every aspect of my life and I'm obedient to him. This is just one part of life. And so, it will require self-control. Why will it require self-control? Because we live in a culture that's even different from 35 years ago when I was being raised. Like, we just as a family didn't eat out very much. Are you with me? Do people eat out way more today than they did when you were growing up? Yeah. I mean, this was something that I experienced. And so self-control means that I'm to be wise. And when we go out to eat as a family, my girls just know they're ordering water. We're not paying $3 for a drink. They're going to share a plate because the portions are so big. Anyway, they're still going to leave full. Don't look on me with judgment. They're going to leave full, and they're going to drink something. We're just not going to pay all the extras. I mean, it is so expensive to go out anymore. And this is how we do it. So it's going to require self-control. Sometimes, there may be one like, well, I really want this, but she wants that. Well, come to an agreement somewhere, right? Because we're only buying one. So, I mean, I don't know. But that's just how we have to make decisions. You can call me a tightwad all you want. I'll own it. It's okay. Don't judge me. You handle your finance. I'll handle it. Anyway, sacrifice is another. So self-control, but then also sacrifices. When we first got married, as we surrendered to ministry, then we moved and started having kids, we decided that Lindsay was going to stay home. It was something that we believed that the Lord wanted us to do, which was going to require sacrifice, right? From two income down to one income, and it was kind of more like a half income anyway because I was a full-time youth pastor. And so that meant I had to work on my days off, a second job. But there were sacrifices that we were willing to make. Why? Because we believed that the Lord had led us to do that. That's, a decision we have to make as a family, and the same with you, but sacrifice is a part of it. It kills me to spend $6 on a coffee drink. And so sometimes that means sacrifice. We're not going to get that it's just going to be times when we go out special. But again, everyone. And then I would say self-control, sacrifice, and then plan. If you fail to plan, you plan to fail. We wander, just kind of coast off into indebtedness, but you'll never coast out of indebtedness. In other words, it will require you to be intentional and to make a plan. Set budgets. Dave Ramsey, he uses envelopes, so in other words, dealing with cash. A lot of times, statistics show you'll actually spend about 18% more money if you use a card versus cash. And so these are just things, because we're more impulse, we don't see it. We don't see the exchange. We don't do the math in our head. And so just some things to think about. We are to be wise. He has entrusted us with it. What are we going to do with it? Proverbs 21:5 says, "The plans of the diligent lead surely to abundance, but everyone who is hasty comes only to poverty." I've not really ever been a good one to like invest and do things like that. Three girls and a wife, I probably should have invested in shampoo or conditioner along the way. But just for information's sake, if you were to invest and get a yield of 10%, it only takes about 7.5 years for you to double your money. That's not something I wish younger me would have learned. So many of these things is that, we are to be wise. And we're to think through, and we're to process, and we're to do these things. And so making sure that we talk to people maybe who are further ahead of us or have walked these things will just be beneficial as we encounter. Ultimately, the call is that if you are struggling in finances, it's not a money problem. It's usually a heart problem. And so as we come before the Lord, we must learn to be content. And as we're content, we must learn to worship him with every aspect of our life. And finance is one of those, that we can trust him and we can trust his plan. I'll close with this. In Philippians 4, Paul's writing to the church, and he's actually thanking them for the gift that they have given him. I told you that I don't talk about finances very much. And actually, early in ministry, it was really hard for me to think about even where my paycheck comes from. And I struggled. I struggled with even wondering if I deserve or should even have any extra. I thought that everything should be just a living wage, and once I was able to make a living, anything else needed to be given or sent. And so I struggled with many things, or at least finding joy in God's blessings along the way. And I say that only to say that I found great comfort in Paul's letter in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, of just him letting people know that there is, make a living in sharing the gospel and the practice of life. But I just am being honest with my own struggles. But with this, I believe that we are to be the most generous people that there are. I believe that as the Lord has and does bless or gives us more responsibility, that he gives us that responsibility because he wants us to do something with it. And I'm not here. You'll never hear me ask for your money. I believe God's church has been around and will continue to exist. Even the gates of hell will not prevail against it. I'm not asking for your money. But I'm telling you that one of the ways that we learn to grow in our trust and our faith in God is specifically going to be by our finances. And it comes when we find joy in being content wherever we're at. and then being obedient with whatever he has. Some of the greatest testimonies that Lindsay and I have throughout our marriage together is when the math, there's no way it was going to line up. And he would lead us to give, and we'd be like, Lord, we have it right now, but we have this coming up. There's no way we're going to be able to pay that, but we believe fully you want us to give, so we're giving. And I just can tell you, time after time, where something unexpected, a job came up, or someone just, hey, the Lord laid it on. I mean, I don't know. I'm just telling you, time after time. And we can trust him. He is a good God, and he will take care of us. And in taking care of us, we can trust him along the way. And what it does is it leads us to say, oh, if you can trust me in this area of finances, if I can trust you in this area of finances, I can trust you with my whole life. I can trust you when you lead me to go and to proclaim, you're going to give me the words just like you gave me the finances. I can trust you that when you lead me to step out, that it is going to be according to your plan. And so, Lord, here I am. Use me. My whole life is yours. Philippians 4, this is what Paul said. Not that I'm speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. One of the most misquoted verses in all of Scripture, right here, right? But context is talking about being content in any and every situation, whether you are in need or whether you have plenty. I can worship the Lord and I can be obedient to him. And so you lose your job, then you step back and you worship the Lord and say, Lord, you are a great God who provides, and so I am ready. You send me to wherever you want. In other words, I am content right now knowing that as a hard worker who trusts you, you're going to lead me to one to meet my needs. Thank you, God. Whoa, what a different perspective, right? Something breaks down and you got to pay and you don't have it. Lord, you know the needs way before I even needed them. I trust you. Show me. And you step back ready to experience his power, not knowing how he's going to meet the need, but you trust him. And you see, he draws us closer to himself. Here I am. Teach me to abide. Teach me to cling to you. And sometimes it's in the areas of finances that he teaches us to depend on him. Now, some of us are just at points in life. Financially, I really don't need to depend on him. Maybe that's what you're saying. I want to caution you. Praise him. Worship him. But still, seek to be obedient in all of those areas. Look to him. He's faithful. Which leads me to, as I mentioned, this is a heart issue. If you're here this morning and you're like, man, why did I come on the day they're talking about money? I just want to tell you, we have a God who knows. We have a God who loves us so much that he is a giving God and a gracious God. And we know this because he gave his one and only son to die in our place, to pay for our sin so that we can believe in him, and when we believe in him, he would forgive us of our sin and make us new and place himself in us through the power of the Holy Spirit and lead us to be the light in this dark world. If you're here today and you would like to trust and surrender your life to the Lord, I want to tell you, you can do that right now, right where you're at. If today, maybe you've been challenged or encouraged to make sure that you trust the Lord and his plan, I want to challenge you to be obedient with whatever he's leading you to do. But today, let us respond to the Lord, because his word is true. We can trust his plan. Let us look to him. Let's bow before the Lord. Father, we bow before you. So thankful for being such a good God. Thank you that we can trust you. And more than that, you have asked us to put you to the test. And so I pray, Father, that we would do so with every aspect of our life, believing and knowing that you are a great shepherd and that you will lead us, you will take care of us. And that, Lord, that we, again, can trust you every step of the way. So, God, I pray that you would move in power today. Help us to experience you and your faithfulness. Lord, help us to believe you so much that we would be willing to do hard things. So, God, lead us today. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray.